I'm thankful to be here this morning. Obviously, yeah, it seems like every time I miss, I have to miss two Sundays, and I hate to miss. The subject of my mind kind of lends toward the subject of being sick, and so you know, I'm all the more happy to talk about this. And when Brother Ward asked me several weeks ago now, if I had something I wanted to say or wanted to speak, then I asked the Lord for a subject, and He gave me this. So I feel that it's a great subject and a big subject, and I feel, you know, unworthy to speak on it. But yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's the resurrection of Lazarus. And this is something that we're all very familiar with and heard spoken on many times, perhaps. But it's a great subject, and it has everything to do with, you know, one thing why we're here, because it's in hope of the resurrection that Paul tells us that we're here, that we do what we do, and without that hope, that we're of all men most miserable, right? So we're happy to hear about this, and it's one of I would say, you know, it's a very important miracle. You know, Jesus did many miracles, and he did so many miracles, yet they couldn't believe on him, and that's here in the text, because Isaiah said that he blinded their eyes. But this is a big one. Of all the miracles that he did, you know, this is a very important miracle. And not only that, but it leads into the right before his ascension into Jerusalem and all the palms that they put before him, and then ultimately to his death, burial, and resurrection, his own resurrection, which is of vital importance, if not the most important resurrection. I'll start in the 11th chapter. This is quite long, and it covers a lot of things. This is a very, I love the gospel according to John. It's so deep, and so many things can be understood from it. But this is very deep. But I'll go ahead and start in the 11th chapter, and it goes all the way to the start of the 13th chapter, I believe, kind of covering a lot of these things that happened. But it says, a certain man, sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her tears, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, thou whom thou lovest is sick. So there's many of Jesus' many miracles. There's many miracles in which we don't know the woman that touched the hem of his garment. We don't know her name, but here we do have recorded. This was Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And we know in the book of Luke, it gives an example where Martha was cumbered about and much serving, and Mary chose the better part to sit at Jesus' feet. And it kind of uses Martha as a little bit of an example of what we shouldn't do. But it doesn't say she's not a spiritual person. And we're going to find out here that she is. And also, I'll note that these are some Jesus-loving people. I mean, Jesus was welcoming their home. He knew their names. They loved him, and he loved them. And he, when he espouses his love for him, it says it in an interesting way, in that it tells, they loved him. They worshiped him as Christ. They believed that he was the Son of God. They listened to his preaching, as we're going to find out later in the story. Martha was very familiar with the resurrection. And this is not something, the resurrection is taught in the Old Testament. There's no doubt about that. He said, the Bible says, I will ransom you from your graves. And Job knew that God would have a call him in the end, that he would see God with his own eyes. And so the resurrection is taught in the Old Testament, but it's not talked about a lot. But the Lord Jesus Christ brought this very important and centerpiece component to our belief system into this. And also I'll say it's interesting wording here, and that they, that the Bible says that they said, Lord, behold, thou whom thou lovest is sick. And they didn't say he that loves you is sick. They said thou, he whom thou lovest is sick. And, you know, we know, because John was a big talker of love. He talked about love, and the Apostle Paul talked about love. He said that Timothy was his dearly beloved son, and he addressed the churches with love. Love was a big part of what he taught, and he also talks about in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of John that God is love, and that he also says that we love him because he first loved us. And so we see here that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. And he said, when he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And I want to make a point here that he, well, it says, I'll go ahead and read that he, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And so we don't have any doubt as to why that he waited there, because he's going to explain it here in a minute, that he says, I'm glad that I wasn't there. And he waited there on purpose for 2 days. So we see the providence of God in this story, that Jesus, now we don't believe in, predestination of all things, you know, but I will say that we do see the providence of God in this story, and the providence that Jesus Christ had, you know, he demonstrates here his providence in this story. He displays his omniscience in this story, and perhaps most importantly, his power over the grave and as God and is the resurrection. So he says, we go after that. He says to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? He says, are there not there 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth, because he seeth the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, or if he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And of course, Jesus was the light, and he has light in himself. But these things he saith, after that he saith to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. I want to make a careful point on this, that this does not teach soul sleep. We know, you know, the Apostle Paul even says in the Corinthian letter that the Lord was seen over 500 brethren after he arose. He said some of them have fallen asleep. They fall asleep on death. They've died. They look, you know, our bodies sleep. We look like we're asleep and we're dead. But he said to the thief on the cross, thou shalt be today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so there's no doubt, you know, the body, the spirit goes to God who gave it. The body sleeps till God is, and like Job's body is sleeps till God is ready to complete the transaction and raise the dead. This is an unusual case. You know, Lazarus, his soul, I believe, was with the Lord. And where it was in heaven, or I guess it was in the Lord in heaven, God knows, and God is in control, he knows every one of us. And he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Now I appreciate when I was sick last week, Stephanie came home and told me that so many of you had expressed well wishes and sorry that I was sick, and I can't tell you how much that comforted me and made me feel good and loved by doing that. But when the Lord says here, our friend Lazarus is sick, or he sleepeth, but he says he was sick earlier, and he says he sleepeth. But I would love to. And you know, the Lord knows how many hairs are on your head. We shouldn't think for 1 minute that the Lord doesn't know us, that he doesn't know our name, and that he. How would you like if you were to hear the Lord say, our friend Ward is sick, you know, to the holy apostles, and perhaps to the angels. I mean, they were friends of his, and he called them friends, even though obviously he was their God, he was their Lord, he was their master. But he was, again, they had sweet fellowship with him, and even though they worshiped him, he considered them friends, and he called them such. And he said, I'm glad that I was not there for your sake. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And I want to bring out here in this point where you see the providence of God. You've got a cast of characters here that are going on in this story. And this is one place the Lord starts. He says, I'm glad that I was not there. And then the Martha says it. If you had been here, my brother had not died. If Mary says it, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And some of the Jews even said, could not this man who, I can't quote it, but which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? So you see a theme of this, that he says, I am the, we'll go down here. He's going to talk about that in a minute. But he said, Jesus. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Jesus came the fount, and when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So there we see that Martha had been listening to the preaching of Jesus, and she was familiar with the resurrection. And so she thought that he was perhaps referring unto that, maybe perhaps scared to even hope that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Jairus' daughter was dead. The Bible says so, and she was dead, but Lazarus, we're going to find, was in the grave 4 days already. And he said, thy brother shall rise again. She says that, and he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so he says, I am the resurrection. And we as Primitive Baptists, we are big on the I ams of the Bible. When Jesus says I am, you know, it has special significance, because he's equating himself to God in effect, because Jehovah means self-existent and eternal. And he calls himself I am. He told Moses, tell them that I am has sent thee. And so see, I am the resurrection and the life. And so with this, we also feel that there can't, the great, Jesus being the great physician, that no one can die. Perhaps the Bible doesn't say it directly, but this story definitely leads us to believe that there in him is life, and in his presence there is no death. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, when they were come into the house and comforted Mary, when they saw Mary, rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid? And said, Where have ye lain him? Laid him. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now I'm sure every one of us have heard that this is the shortest scripture in the Bible, that Jesus wept. And it doesn't say that he cried, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. If he does cry here in a minute, but he wept. And I've heard, you know, several interpretations of this, and I have my own belief about, you know, why the Lord wept. And the Jews here express that, behold how he loved him. And that's certainly a consideration here, you know, but I also think that that the Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so I believe that he felt their pain, that he saw their weeping. He understood their grief, and he does understand all of our grief, and he knows us intimately, and he carries our grief. Then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And then I've already read the 37th verse. Could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Therefore, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha and the sister of him that was dead said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And he said, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that I could see, thou wouldest see the glory of God? And I can imagine, you know, that the faith that Martha had in the Lord was certainly outstanding here. And we can see in the miracles that the Lord performed, there's several examples of where people came without full faith, the full assurance of faith, and you know, if they came saying, if thou canst do anything, if you can do anything, that's what you'd say to an ordinary man, ordinary doctor, versus you come to the Lord and say, I know you can, if you will. But I can imagine, even though Martha had this faith that she displays here, that how much that would have increased her faith to hear him say, I am the resurrection. And he helped her unbelief here. Even this is a big, maybe is such a big miracle, it needed a lot of faith. But he helps her there. And then he says, Father, I thank thee. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had said, and he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he said and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, let him go. Loose him and let him go. Now, I have heard this, like I said, I personally have heard this subject preached on many times. And I don't know that I've heard an adequate explanation of what the grave clothes represented and all that. And I can't say that I really have a lot of insight on that either. But nevertheless, they let him go. I mean, he was probably, you know, just another example, for one thing, of how dead he was. You know, you couldn't survive with that even on, probably. And some of them went, it said, and many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And so here you got to have another example in the Bible of, there's so many things going on here, but here you've got another example in the Bible that there's two kinds of people in this world. You know, you got the thief on the cross, one railed on him and the other, believed. And, you know, you got the sheep on one, his sheep on the one hand, on his right hand, and the goats on the other. Here you have some of the Jews which believed, but some of them didn't, you know, and that goes, you know, to show you too, that, you know, the Pharisees were one big sect of the Jews, but the Sadducees were another, and they didn't believe in the resurrection, it says. And they didn't espouse the spirit or angels or anything else. In the Jewish society of that day, we understand that, or it seems to be implied here, that everyone in the society was part of the religious order, you know. So I can only think that but the Sadducees were leaders of the Jews, and they didn't believe in these things. So I could say maybe they're not unspiritual people that were there endeavoring to worship God, as it were. But he said that they did greatly err, not knowing the power of God. And he says that all live unto God. So there's another example that there's no soul sleep. There's no death in the eyes of God. Then it goes right into the high priest. This is very familiar. It goes right into the high priest saying that, you know, basically that he said unto them, "Know ye nothing at all, nor consider it as expedient for us that one man should die for the people, the whole nation perish not? He spake this not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." And they took counsel to put him to death. So this was the straw that broke the camel. This miracle was the straw that broke the camel's back in the world of the Pharisees, which were the main leading sect of the Jews. And then, so later on, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, and he raised from the dead, and they made him a supper. And now you see, and there's a lot of things that could be said about the washing of Jesus' feet. Mary is not the only person that washes Jesus' feet. It mentioned that it was Mary who washed the feet of Jesus at the beginning of the story. And then it tells about it here later. And it's the same place where I'm sure we're familiar with, where Judas questioned with her, "Why are you wasting this money, all this money?" And he said, "Let her alone. She's done this for my death." She's preparing him for his death. So many things could be talked about. Then it goes into them laying at the palms, his triumphal entrance in Jerusalem. So, like I said, there's many things here, and it's a very deep, and I hope that we, I've learned more about this story just trying to study it out than I ever knew before. And, you know, we tend to think we know things, and Stephanie and I, when we were talking about this a little bit, you know, brought up different things that different people had said that we've heard said about this story. It's a very famous story. It's a very big miracle. I just wanted to bring it before you today and for your consideration, and hope that you've received a blessing from it.